I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Moore!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
We cross into the evening on the East Coast here, 6:04 on a Sunday night. The great and powerful Erica Herskowitz will be here to keep us up to date all night long with her top-notch skills. Radio Gold is what she generally calls it, because she's an experienced veteran sports mind. She reminded me, though, that it is not a sexual harassment-free Sunday here at the Fan, and therefore I'm going to have to once again behave myself. They've kind of outlawed those in the last 10 years or so. Speaking of harassment, Matt Casey on the other side of the glass.
You finally caved and want to be my friend on Facebook.
Yeah, I want to be your friend on Facebook now. I want to make sure that you're okay. When you break down, I want you to call me. Because you do tend to break down on the highway.
Ah, you're funny. I got a new car, by the way.
Did you?
I'll show you during the break.
Nice. I knew you had to break down and get a new car. The great Hoffman on the other side. He's taking care of us as well. And we did promise you a little Giants talk to start the 6 o'clock hour, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Never trust a guy with two first names. Pat Leonard. That scares me. Scares me a little bit, but we're going to have him on anyway. You see him, of course, on SNY. You read him in the Daily News, and he covers the Giants. Pat, long time. How you been, brother?
Chris, don't give fans another reason not to trust me. Come on, man.
Come on, Pat Leonard. Never trust a guy with it. All the radio guys have two first names, and you can't trust any of them. So, you know, it's just not a good thing. How you been? Yeah, everything good?
Yeah, no, doing well. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. Doing well, and almost halfway through this preseason schedule here. Looking forward to the games that matter.
You know, I think you're going to have an entertaining season no matter what from a writing standpoint, because the group there and what the past has been and the fact that Manning and Jones are there, it's just pretty much gold for you, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be red. People want to know what's going on and how they're going to handle the transitions and how they're going to fix this defense and how Gettleman and Shermer are going to get along and how much Mara is going to be involved. There's just a million angles here.
Yeah, definitely. Though, from the Giants' standpoint, they would love that the quarterback position doesn't get over-scrutinized. The problem is you trade Odell Beckham and Landon Collins walks and Olivier Vernon's gone. And so other than Saquon Barkley's star power, there really is nothing to take the spotlight off, as you said, this storyline with so many layers to it. From my vantage point, I am just, you know, I'm never going to get over the fact that Eli is still here, still starting.
You and I are together on that.
Yeah, right. But certainly the Giants have shown that after they did things so wrong a couple years ago, they're bending over backwards to try to make it work one more time. They believe, obviously, that with a slightly improved offensive line and with Saquon and with a defense that has some aggressiveness that James Betcher is looking for, that they can make one last run. But at the same time, taking Daniel Jones indicates to you and to everybody that Dave Gettleman knows he was wrong last year and trying to run it back and definitely thinking they were going to win. They know, he knows that they needed the quarterback of the future here. But now the question is, how early does he play? And if he continues to play the way he did on his first series, does he make this a competition, even though it wasn't one coming into training camp?
Is there a scenario, given that they did not renegotiate that contract and that he's, you know, getting paid 12.5% or 12.8% of the cap space, what is the scenario where this ends well for the Giants and Eli Manning at the same time?
Oh, Chris, that's a great question, because it really feels like the Giants are trying to do this again perfectly. So in other words, to hit it right on the mark for what you said and striking a balance between those two things, it's just going to be so hard to do because, like, I, you know, someone was saying to me earlier, well, everyone's going to know when it's obvious and it's time to go to Daniel Jones. Oh. Well, yeah, everyone except Eli Manning. Right?
And maybe John Mara or Dave Gettleman or Pat Shermer. I mean, or the three of them combined. I don't know how you – I don't know how you predict it, and I don't know if they sat in a room and said, what is the best way this could end? What is the best possible way? I guess it's that Manning plays so well that no one calls for Jones, but the odds of that are so low. So low. When you take a guy sixth overall, you're saying, hey, come see our new guy. We got a new guy. He's awesome. And I know you people didn't want him, but let me tell you why we wanted him. You're going to find out. Wait till you see. And then we say, okay, show us. And then you say, oh, you got to wait. Never mind. We're not ready yet. We got 12.5% of our cap wrapped up in this old guy. We're using him.
Not to mention that Eli, all accounts, like I know he told Sal Palantonio of ESPN that he wants to play past this season. So let's say he has a good year this year. Are they going to re-sign him and he's going to play and Jones is going to stay on the bench, even though the Giants are basically in love with this kid from Duke? You know, and on the flip side, here's what I do believe. I do think that even though no one's told us the exact conversation, I do think the Giants have said to Eli Manning, listen, there's going to be a moment this year where if you don't play well out of the gate and we are struggling and this kid's ready, we're going to go to him. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I firmly believe that Pat Shurmur is not going to let his second head coaching stint go down in flames and let this team start 1-5, 1-6, and miss a playoff berth before he goes to Jones, if Jones gives them a better chance to win. So that's why I think Eli said to us a couple months ago in the spring, he said, I know that I have to play well, and I know I have to play well early. That I thought that was a kind of an allusion to his awareness that the leash is shorter this time around. But as you've said, and as we're talking about now, nobody knows when it comes time to it's push or shove whether John Mara really will pull the trigger on making that move once and for all.
Yeah, and then have 12.5% of his cap sitting on the bench. I mean, that's why I'm so negative on this decision, no matter how it turns out. If Daniel Jones ends up in the Hall of Fame, it still makes no sense to me to commit all this money. Because you know why, Pat, I like your opinion on this. I don't really believe much in rebuilding in the NFL. You restock your shelves, you change your lineup so much. You talked about so many of the Giants that have left, from Apple to Vernon to Beckham. It's just the turnover in all these teams is so so severe, plus the turnover in head coach and general manager or offensive coordinator means you need a new system. I just don't buy this. You know, we won 3 games last year. We won 5 games. We're on a road somewhere. I just don't buy that in the NFL. How about you?
No, I agree. And actually, the one thing the Giants haven't done well lately that other organizations, such as the Rams, for example, have done well is self-scouting and recognizing and owning what you are. So when Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur were hired, of course, now the story we hear is that Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese left such wreckage that there was no chance that they could win in the first year. Well, everyone, including me, who was sitting there listening to Dave Gettleman tell us at that time, remembers him saying, we have enough to win here. I'm going to add these pieces. I'm going to draft Saquon Barkley, and Eli Manning and the Giants are going to win this year. We're going to do it. Well, that was wrong. They need to start then. They needed to recognize that they weren't good enough to compete, and they needed to set a plan in place for themselves to be good in a couple years down the road and to put the pieces together and to tear it down. That's not what they did. They tried to be good right away. It backfired, and it went up in flames in their face. And now they're trying to patchwork together a competitive season, blaming the culture for why it wasn't good last year. Now, that said, who knows? Maybe the absence of an Odell Beckham Jr. and the pressure that Eli Manning feels when he's on the field, whatever, if you believe in any of that stuff, maybe this no egos, improved culture idea takes pressure off these guys and they do go on a run and maybe they do win more games than they did last year. But I like what you said too about you don't buy the improvement of 3 wins to 5 wins either, because this is the New York Giants. If you're going to say once a Giant, always a Giant, we're a proud tradition, 4 Super Bowls, it's not good enough this year to improve from 5 wins to 7 wins. You want to get back to the playoffs. So don't tell me that you're going to be that you're a better team and that you're on the right track if you go 6-10 this year just because you won one more game than you did last year.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that since 2002, at least going into last year anyway, at least one team in the NFL has gone from fourth to first every year since 2002. It's not uncommon. So you know, people grow up thinking, oh yeah, rebuilding. Okay, I'm okay that we're rebuilding. But you just don't keep enough assets in that league. You just, there's too much turn. As I said, the turnover in general manager, offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, head coach, and you know, quarterback system, whatever. Like Beckham's gone now. That changes the Giants. For better or for worse, it changes them. So there's just a lot of change all the time, year to year. It's not like, well, we got these guys. It's not like the Yankees. They've got Judge and Torres and Sanchez, and they're building them around them. And we know Judge and Sanchez and Torres will all be here next year. It's not that way in football.
No, no. And, you know, if you want to look at a potential positive for this year's team, their youth and energy and aggressiveness from a lot of these guys they brought in, that could benefit itself. And these guys, you know, it's clean slate. A lot of opportunity, guys who are all trying to establish themselves in the league. So it's a little bit of a different feel in that, you know, look at a guy like the sixth-round pick Corey Ballantyne, who even saw some first-team reps at practice today when DeAndre Baker stepped off. He's intercepted some balls, including one against the Jets. Here are people who might actually step up and make plays because their careers are still on the line. They're not established. And that's what Betcher looks for on defense. And that's what you look for if you're a Giants fan for the future. Is not as Lorenzo Carter only going to improve your pass rush now, but will he be a really good pass rusher for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years for the Giants? So you're trying to lay that foundation, and those positives could come out of a season like this, even if they don't win. But of course, you would rather see the team improve and also put the right personnel on the field and accelerate that process to the future that you're hopeful for, rather than staying stuck in neutral at the most important position on the field.
And with the last couple of years, of course, it's a past you don't want to hold on to, which is why I didn't understand it to begin with. It was a perfect opportunity to change, bite the bullet, take the slings and arrows, and move forward. They elected not to do that. Vegas has them, and it's a national perspective, at 6 wins. The over-under is 6 wins. One of the worst in the league. I think Miami and Arizona are the only two that are worse than that. In your mind, and sometimes we get too close when, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees when you're in the market where they're talking about the team. Why does the national media, or why does Vegas believe the Giants will be bad? What's the biggest fear about the Giants having a bad season?
Well, I think the total picture of what their team is, first of all, you don't remove Landon Collins, Olivier Vernon, and Odell Beckham Jr. from your team and improve. I mean, I guess you technically could, but it really doesn't add up to remove three of your best players and three of the better players at their position in the league, and suddenly your team's better. So that's number one. Number two is that the full construction of this team is that even though they have a lot of youth and energy on defense, tearing holes at several parts of it, and I think it might end up being the kind of defense that forces some turnovers and makes plays, but also is kind of boom or bust. And so they're going to have plenty of games that the defense might keep them in games, but I think there's going to be a fair amount of games this year based on what they have on D that they're going to give up some points, and they're going to need the offense to carry them a little bit. Now, that's not unusual in the NFL, right, Chris? In the modern NFL, teams win by scoring points and defenses make plays, but they will give up some too.
Absolutely.
I don't think, and I think the national perspective on this is the same as mine, I don't think that Eli Manning and this Giant offense is capable of carrying the team week in and week out and lighting up the scoreboard to the point which they will win consistently.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, I guess. And it is, of course, such a crapshoot for everybody as to how patient they will be with Eli Manning and how they treat him with kid gloves or not. I mean, it just, as you say, you would hope that they've had the conversation with him, that at some point, if we're not clicking offensively and we think, look, if they think the other kid's better, then they got to play the other kid. But it's easy to say that when it's not my, you know, 12.5% of my cap space. The thing that killed me about this all along is only one guy can play. Either your first round pick, who you love, and you told us a million times you love, and everything about camp has been great, and he's God right now until he actually plays, or you play the guy that you're paying. But you can't play them both. So that's the part about this that no matter what happens, no one will ever convince me they got this right, because you can't have both. You can't have a first rounder that you're anxious to play and then have a guy who doesn't look to me like he wants to be a mentor. Do you get any sense that Manning wants to help Jones along here, that he's looking forward to being Josh McCown and have his hat on backwards and hold the clipboard?
Right, exactly. No, you make a great point. He is, I mean, he's going to, he answers questions when Jones asks him, and he's there as a resource, but Manning is more focused on, and the Giants are letting him, encouraging him to be more focused on keeping his own job and winning versus teaching Jones. That's actually a reason why I think Alex Tanny, the backup veteran journeyman, is clearly the third option who would make the team over a Kyle Auletta, because Manning's not going to be standing there on the sidelines being the McCown that you just alluded to. You know, it's going to be maybe Tanny in Jones's ear as they're watching Eli. And frankly, this is how the offense is going to need to work this year. It's going to be a lot of underneath, you know, Golden Tate when he's back from suspension, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, and, you know, Benny Fowler, Cody Latimer. It's going to be a lot of crossing routes, a lot of stuff of yards after the catch. You know, Pat Shurmur is good at scheming plays to get his receivers open with the ball in their hands to run. And so I think you're going to see a lot of that, not a lot of shots down the field. Of course, Saquon is the straw that stirs the drink, and he's going to see his fair amount of touches in both the run and pass game. But I think what it's going to be for Eli is don't turn the ball over, manage the drives, and really, if the defense does go through some growing pains, this offense, by staying on the field and being run heavy and kind of moving the chains, would bleed clock and theoretically keep these games close. But of course, that feels like you're just lining up everything needing to work all at once for it to really result in consistent victory.
Yeah, and it sure seems like Barkley's pretty much indispensable in that mindset, that's for sure. So let's hope he stays healthy. Let's finish, Pat, with what you expect the rest of training camp to be like and what their focus is on. What's their biggest concern between now and opening day as an overall football team?
Health, no question. You know, especially at the receiver position, you know, I referenced Tate's suspension, Shepard's thumb. You know, Evan Engram even had a hamstring injury in the offseason that they're still kind of being careful with, because he is additionally important to their passing game now, considering everything that's happened. Also at tackle, Nate Solder and Mike Remmers both had offseason surgeries. Solder on his ankle was like a cleanup arthroscopic, and Remmers on his back. But those are guys who are veterans who the Giants have really handled very carefully so far. They really haven't done a lot. At practice, for example, they'll take maybe the first two series and then they'll back off and let everyone else play first team for the rest of practice. So these are guys at key positions that you can't afford to have go down. You know, a lot is said now about bringing Eli back, that this offensive line will be drastically improved. But other than Kevin Zeitler at right guard, who you got in the Vernon trade, there isn't a clear path right now to this being dramatically improved on the O-line. And so certainly the health of guys like that. And then on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the linebackers and in coverage and the safeties without Collins. But also, will Dalvin Tomlinson or a Dexter Lawrence or B.J. Hill, will one of those guys step up and be the Damon Harrison type that deters teams from running? Because when they traded Harrison mid-season last year, teams were running the ball down their throats the second half of the season. So they're going to need someone to plug the middle.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Pat, good conversation. Thanks. I learned a lot. We'll do it again before the season starts for sure. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Not much left.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
There you go. Pat Leonard, Daily News. See him on SNY as well. One of the good guys around, and we appreciate that. And on his Twitter page, he says, stop saying moving or going forward. In other words, going forward, coach, what do you expect? Because you can't go backward. That's why people, you know, that's what we call a pet peeve in the business. Pet peeves are not good. They bother you, and they really shouldn't. You can't control them anyway, but they're pet peeves. That's why we have the phrase. They just drive you crazy. You know, like guys driving slow in the left lane. I mean, I would strangle them if I could reach them. And I shouldn't. Where am I going? One of my goals right now, I'm glad you guys brought this up. And by the way, none of you did. One of my goals right now is to not be in a hurry when I'm not in a hurry. Like in New York, that's just what we are. We're always in a hurry. You know, there's a country song that's, I'm in a hurry and don't know why. You know, and it's true. I'm in a hurry and don't know why. A lot of the times, like, where am I going? Calm down, relax. So that's my advice to you on the Sunday show. It's a little preach, you know, Sunday preach. If you're in a hurry, be in a hurry for a reason. Don't be in a hurry out of habit. See what I helped you with that? Casey now will probably accept my friend request because I've helped him. before it was, you know, pretty dicey. I believe he said to his buddy, who needs friends like that? But now he might come around. So, you know, we got that going for us, which is nice. And by the way, bad news for him. I think people are underrating the Giants a little bit and overrating the Jets a little bit. And to be fair, I hope I'm wrong because I root for the Jets. We are going to talk to Joe Caparoso next hour, and we are going to talk to John Harper on the overall state of New York sports in the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, though, your phone calls. You know the number by now, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because the boss really likes it when I do. 877-337-6666. Chris Moore here till 9. Lori Rubinson at that time on The Fan.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.